Ibn al-Muslim visits his friends, peace be unto you, as we say in our religion, As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian, evolver, sustainer, and cherisher of all the world. Peace and blessings be upon the universal messenger, the last prophet, Muhammad. Upon all the righteous be peace. We pray Allah's forgiveness and guidance for all of us who turn to Him. I enjoyed the few words that I heard from Imam Qasim Ahmad, as always. I would like to begin today by bringing some terms to mind that we often use in name calling, and perhaps some of us are not aware of the proper use, or proper application of these names or terms. We see many people who live the religion, and I believe are sincere in the religion, referring to Christians generally. That is very broadly blanket condemnation of Christians, referring to them as kafirs or rejecters of faith or disbelievers. The word is translated in different ways by different translators. Different translations give it disbeliever, unbeliever, non-believer, rejecter of faith, different ways they translate the word. And many say that the Christians are this word, kafir, in the language of the Quran, our holy book. So let us, for a few minutes, look at the word kafir. Kafir means one who rejects faith, that's true. One who rejects the guidance of God when it's brought to him, it's kafir. That's true. But we must understand that when Prophet Muhammad was missioned to be the prophet, he was in a society that was dominated by pagan Arabs, Christians and Jews. And he preached this religion and invited all of them to this religion. And he called none of them kafirs when he was inviting them to this religion. So that tells us that you can't call a person kafir just because they believe in a different way. And again, in the Quran, in our holy book, Allah Most High, as God says, whoever believes and is a doer of good, he has his reward with his Lord. There is no fear for him, nor grief. Now, some of us may say, well, that means whoever believes in the Quran. No, it says, whether it be Sabian, that was a religious group from the vicinity of Arabia before the time of Prophet Muhammad, or Christian, or other. If they believe and do good. Now some say, oh, that meant at that time. That doesn't go for the present time. At that time, that was so. If the people believed and did good, they were accepted. But after the religion of Al-Islam came, and if any rejected, then they are kafir. All right, let us continue now. Also, the Quran refers to people of the book and also kafirs in the same context, making it very clear that there are people of scripture and there are kafirs. There are people who follow scripture other than Muslims and also kafirs. Let us go even farther now. In order for someone to be a kafir, he has to have an intent in his heart to reject what is right. He has to be a person that doesn't mean well. He has to be a person that's trying to cover up wrong. The very word kafir means to cover up as well as reject. So he rejects and he also covers up. He covers up, he hides the wrong and he rejects the right. He hides the truth and rejects the truth. He covers up the wrong and rejects the truth. He covers up his own wrong and rejects the truth. Then he covers up the truth and rejects the truth. So he's not just a rejecter, he's one who also hides or covers something, the one who's kafir. Now we know many people who claim to be of faith are indeed kafir. They do that. And you will find them among people who call themselves Christians. Many of the Christians are kafir. But to say Christians are kafirs, that's wrong. The pagans who rejected faith after it came to them, they became kafirs. Those who did it willfully, with wrong intention, with deceit in their hearts, they became kafirs. The Jews who reject in that way, they become kafirs. Whoever rejects in that way becomes a kafir. Kafir is a terrible person. Allah would not tell us the kafirs, you will find them to be the nearest to you in faith. No, he would not tell us that of the kafirs. He told us that of the Christians. He say, among those people who call themselves Nasari, that is Christian, the old name for Christian, Nazarene, you'll find them to be the nearest to you in faith. And it goes on to describe them, how pious they are in their worship, how humble they are in their worship of God, how sincere they are in their prayers, how they shed tears often when they pray. So those are not kafirs. Those are good Christians. And they have now all gone from the earth since Prophet Muhammad. Many of them are still here, who are genuine in their religion. They believe in God. They want to be right. They feel they're on the right way. And if they feel that they're doing something wrong, they turn to God just like the good Muslim and ask forgiveness and seek a better way, just like the good Muslim. So we have to be very careful of these terms. So our community, that is those of my friends, we don't call all Christian kafirs. We don't call all Jews Catholics. Allah says in the Quran, there's a party of the Jews who practice justice and the doing of right, while there's another party of them who practice injustice and deceit. Allah tells us in the Quran. So should we say all the Jews are bad when Allah says in His Quran that there's a party of them that practice justice and the doing of good? No, we can't do that. We have to accept our Quran. This is our holy book. We have to accept it. We have to be aware that there are some people among us who belong to our religion that have lost sight, and they are only moved by the hurt, by the bitterness, by the discomfort in their own lives, and that caused them to not to see plainly what is right and what is wrong. So they are moved politically to get you to join them in a blanket condemnation of all Christians. So you will work against all Americans. You are not my friends if you join them. And I say my friends, because I don't like my enemies. No, I don't like my enemies. And no one else should like the enemy. Unless the enemy is good and you bad, then like the enemy. But if I'm trying to do good and someone's working against me, I don't like that person. Never like them. So they repent fully. So dear beloved Muslims, so much for the word kafir. Now let us look at another word, munafiq. Munafiq. Munafiq is translated in most books as a hypocrite. And we know the English term hypocrite. And some of us use that word loosely. Oh, he's a hypocrite. And we mean that he disappointed me. You know, maybe he's a good person, but since he disappointed me, he's a hypocrite. So let us understand how we have to use this word, munafiq. We have to be careful of using this word. This is another word. It's a very, very ugly word. A terrible person is munafiq. If any person is munafiq, they're a terrible person. And we want to dwell on this one a bit because this community have had a habit of calling people hypocrites. So let's see what is a hypocrite. Al-munafiq. Allah says in the Quran, they have professed to believe with their mouths, but their hearts have not believed. Now, here is one identity, here is one description of a hypocrite. One who says with his mouth nice words about the religion. And he says, I believe in this religion, my book is the Quran. He says that with his mouth, but his heart is not saying that. That's a hypocrite. Now, who knows that hypocrite but Allah? We have to wait till that hypocrite manifests himself openly. He can be speaking with his mouth and his heart saying something differently, but as long as we don't see the evidence of that, we can't call him a hypocrite. Only Allah knows that hypocrite. So let's go on now. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Surely the hypocrites are in the lowest depths of the fire. So they tell you their place is terrible. in the lowest depths of the fire. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says in the Quran, surely the hypocrites, the munafiq, surely they are in the lowest depths of the fire and will never find aid to victory except those who repent from their ways and do righteous deeds and join firmly unto Allah and make their religion pure and holy for Allah alone. For those are to be identified as believers. Now, if one even is a hypocrite, but he later repents and begins to practice righteous deeds and makes his religion holy for Allah, holding fast to Allah and making his religion holy for Allah, not worshiping foreign things or false things, adding false things into his religion, says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those are to be identified as believers. Now, dear beloved people, if a hypocrite has a chance, what about a kafir? Here the hypocrite has a chance. The door is open to him. If your heart changed, you want to change from this way, you change and begin to practice righteousness and hold fast to Allah, and you give your religion solely to him, not mixing up wrong things in it, then you're to be identified as believer. وَسَوْفَ يُعْطِي اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah indeed is going to give the believers a mighty reward. مَا يَفَعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَأَمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What concern does Allah have to punish you if you show gratitude and faith? And Allah, and surely Allah has always been appreciative and all-knowing. So Allah says to us in the Quran very clearly here that Allah is not a God that's looking for an opportunity to punish somebody. Allah is the God that's looking for an opportunity to grace somebody, to do good by somebody. Allah is not inclined to punish. He's inclined to show mercy and to aid the individual. So the question is asked, what concern do you think God has to punish somebody if they show gratitude and faith? That means even after they've done wrong, if they repent and begin to show gratitude, show that they appreciate God, appreciate goodness, and show faith, well, what right? Allah doesn't, that's the end of it. He doesn't want to punish them. No more punishment. That finishes it. We make our own hell. We make the hell. We draw our own concept of hell. And then we name people to go there. And we tell the world how long they will stay there. We should follow what Allah says. You're not going to hold you long. It's bad outside today, just 4 or 5 hours. Allah Most High says in Quran, Inna hadha lahuwa al-qasasul haqq. Wa ma min ilahin illa Allah. Allah says, highly praises He, the knower of everything, and has everything in His charge. Allah says in the Quran, surely this is the true account. Surely this is the true report. What is it talking about? The words of the Quran. The report that's given in the Quran about Jesus Christ, peace be on Him. Inna Allaha lahu al-azizul hakim. Surely Allah is mighty and wisest. Says this is the true report, and there is not a God except Allah. I was listening to a TV program the other day, and it was entertainment. But something very beautiful came out in the song. The song, I can't recall the words of it, but the message of the song was this, that every lover is looking for that one love. Not two, not three, for that one love. And Prophet Muhammad has said, peace and blessings be on him, that Allah has not given a human being two hearts. Allah says in the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad says too, that Allah has not given a human being two hearts. One heart. Let us go on. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُفْسِدِينَ. And if they turn away from that, then surely Allah is most aware, or has all knowledge, of the corruptors. Now, look at the word that's used, bil mufsidin. What is this saying? It is saying that anyone who knowingly accepts more than one God is a corrupt person. Why would you want more than one God? That's not the nature of your heart. So if you want more than one God, and you're aware of what you're doing, what you're saying, then you are a corrupt person. All right, now you may say, well, Brother Imam, what about the Christians who believe in three gods and one Godhead? As long as they are confused on that confusing matter and are innocent, they are not guilty of this. But once they know clearly what they are saying, what they are believing, and still hold to that, they are corrupt people. Because no one would willingly and would knowingly have more than one God unless they have some deceit, some evil intent. They want to run from one God and hide under the other. And if you chase them with the other God, they want to run from that one and hide under the third. But the innocent heart knows one creator, knows one judge, one justice, one God. Further, Allah Most High says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ
تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا. Allah Most High says, O people of Scripture, who this addressing? All of those who follow Scriptures, the Scriptures that came to the Jews, the Scripture that came to the Christians, people of Scripture, says, O you who follow Scripture, come and let us agree on terms respecting us mutually. Let's agree on something that respects me just as it respects you. Respects you just as it respects me. It doesn't slight you, it doesn't slight me. It doesn't offend me, it doesn't offend you. And what is that term of mutual respect? Let us go on. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that we worship none but Allah. Now that's the word in Arabic. In English, we worship none but the one God. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and that we do not make a partner with him. Not any partner with him. That's the mutual terms of agreement. What Allah needs with a partner. I need a partner in my business because I can't run it as well alone. If I can run my business as well alone, I won't have a partner. I'm stupid if I take on partners and I don't need them. I take on a partner in my business because I think it's going to work better with the partner. Now, does Allah, does the one God, need to take on partners in the rule of the heavens and the earth? Why would he take on a partner? Is his rule insufficient? Is his rule inadequate that he needs to take on a partner to help him rule in the creation? One preacher told me, he said, the three in one, it's like water. See, there's snow, sleet, and hail. He said, but they are all water. And I said to myself, I didn't even reply to him. But I said to myself, what a terrible analogy. Even for his own idea. He picked a terrible description. Because water is subject to environmental conditions. and it freezes up because of coldness. I wanted to tell him you forgot steam. It boils too. I want a God that's going to turn the steam on me. The scripture doesn't say he changes up like that. Say the way is fixed from eternity. There is no change in the Lord. Now that's scripture. But they'll say, oh yes, and scripture say that he beget Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God. And one with God in the Godhead. Well, we know that story too. We're trying to find the truth among all the erroneous reports.
Allah Most High further says in Quran in this same verse, continuing the same line of argument, terms for agreement between us and other people who claim to worship God. And I quote now, وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. The last of the conditions to be met here is that we do not take from among us lords, you know, like the Lords of London, or like the Lord of the Christians, Jesus, that we do not take from among ourselves lords to the rejection of Allah. What does this tell us? That you cannot make someone a partner with God in a Godhead, so-called Godhead, without rejecting Allah. Because after all, what is God? What is Allah? Who is Allah? Who is God? God is the one who is absolute, independent, has all power, needs nothing, takes care of everything by himself. Now, anytime you say he needs a partner, you have rejected that God. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا شَهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. And if they turn from that, reject that is, then we make testimony. The Muslim is supposed to bear witness openly. He's supposed to give his testimony before those people. He's supposed to say, we bear witness that we are Muslims. He's supposed to set the record straight that he's not one of them. Okay, that's your way? All right. Well, let the record be straight and clear. We are not Christians. We are not Jews. We are Muslims. We want no association with you in that terrible thing. That's what we say to the people after we have had intelligent argument with them, intelligent discussion with them, and they cannot come to terms with us, then we separate ourselves from them. Now, should we follow them up? No. Should we say, I'm going back there and talk to them some more? No. Once you have brought the clear truth that Allah has revealed in His Quran to people who claim to believe in God, and they reject that, what right have you to go back to those people? Go follow them up. You don't only shame yourself, you shame the great worth of your religion. Your religion is not something to force on somebody. Your religion is the best thing you have. It's the most precious thing in our life. Now, when we play it cheap by going to try to put it off on somebody after they said, I don't want it, once we discuss it with them rationally and they have made a clear rational judgment that they don't want this, goodbye.
Allah is not poor that he needs them. Allah says in the Quran, you poor. Allah is rich.
This is for my friends. Because my friends, they want to be right. Let's go on now. In the Quran, Allah Most High speaks in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ All you who believe. See how Allah addressed us all the time? Listen. How Allah is addressing us all the time. He's not saying, oh, you learned people. He's not saying, oh, you mathematicians. He's not saying, oh, you interpreters of the law. He's saying, oh, you who have faith. Faith is the first requirement. You don't know nothing about this religion unless your faith is right. Your heart has to be placed rightly for you to know something about this religion. All you who believe, whoever turns among you from his religion, then know surely that Allah will bring another people. Whom he loves. And who loves him. Gentle with believers. Here's the characteristic of these people. One of the descriptions of these people. They are to be gentle with believers. They see a person sincerely believing in God, they're not going to abuse that person or go roughshod with that person. They go gently with that person because they respect faith in an individual. Because they know that faith is what buys Allah's protection and love. And they fear to mistreat a person that's got faith in them because they fear the consequences from God. So the real believers, they are gentle with the believers. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ They are gentle with believers and firm before the disbelievers. Not unjust, but they're not going to be sweetie with no disbeliever. Be firm with a disbeliever. Start being too sweet with them, they think that's a weakness in you. And pretty soon they tell other people that you are not with the Muslims indeed, that you are halfway on their side. And they might be true. Might be right. If you let it go on and don't check it. I never liked a girlfriend or a wife who'd be too open or too forward with my associates. I introduced her to a friend or to a gentleman, and she just all up in his face right away and talking to him like she'd been knowing him for years on the first day. She don't know what happened. A different contract is made.
without her even hearing the words. I thought of annulling everything without the judge's permission. They held on. This ain't till death do us part, or death do us part. This until I find something better, I'll correct this thing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is until I find something better, I'll correct this thing. And we like to correct the thing if we can. So dear beloved people, let us understand this religion. And those of you who are sincere, you let it be engraved on your heart. And I don't care if the whole world do something differently, you do what you know is right. Let us see what else is the description of these people. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And they persistently struggle for Allah's sake. They persistently struggle in Allah's path, in His way. Not just struggle, you know, a lot of us struggle. We say the daily responsibilities is a what they call it? A struggle. Yes, we say it's a struggle. But that's a struggle that you're forced to keep in because of survival need, right? That's not this kind of struggle. This kind of struggle is something that you are not doing because of the need to survive. You're doing it because of the need to please Allah. And His pleasure takes you beyond the point of mere survival. His pleasure takes you into productivity. You see? So you persistently struggle. I got enough food at home. Family fed, college tuition paid, the wife is happy. But I'm still out here struggling just like I ain't did a thing. Because I haven't yet established on this earth what Allah wants. There's another family that need much more than I ever needed. I got to keep going. Please Allah. No, if I did that for that family, I would never make it. But if one works for Allah and know that Allah is Allah, they never tire. They never tire. And even if they tire, they whip themselves. Say, what's wrong with me? Oh Allah, please forgive me. You no good for nothing, Wallace. We begin to curse ourselves. But if I'm working just for that family over there across the street, as soon as I see a few defects in them, I say, hell, I ain't gonna work this hard no more for those suckers. And you know, even our government disappoints us. There are times when our government disappoints us, and we can't even give our all to our government. Hell, I'm not going to give all, sacrifice my whole self, my whole life, trying to help this government. Government not doing right by me. That comes, the time comes in your life when you experience things like that. You know? And some of us will say, well, it's never time for you to withdraw support from your government. Well, the Constitution says it is. So if you become dissatisfied enough, scrap that government and get a new one. That's what they say. But the best advice is from Prophet Muhammad in the Quran and from the Prophet, peace be on him. Prophet Muhammad says, help your brother, whether he's in the wrong or in the right. Whether he's wrong or right, help him. And they ask the question, how do you help him, O Prophet, when he's in the wrong? Our messenger, our prophet Muhammad, he said, hold him back from the wrong. Now, can't we apply that same principle to the government? And isn't that American democracy? When your government is wrong, then you have the right to protest and to pull your government back from wrong direction. But instead, you Machiavellians, you come here and help the government do your own people wrong. Help prey on the weak among your own selves. When you should tell the government, no, I don't want that kind of job. Don't insult me by asking me to go among the Muslims and do that shameful thing. And from now on, I'm going to be working against this kind of element in my government. That's what you would do if you were a true American. You would follow the principle of Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. We continue now, Allah speaking of the kind of people that he will bring to replace those who are weak and give half-hearted support and then turn back from their religion when it gets a little difficult. He will replace them with the right people. Those who love him, he will love them and they will love him. And they will be gentle with believing people and firm before disbelieving people. They don't listen to the conversation of disbelievers who are trying to shape the foundations of our religion and listen to them and act like everything is okay. You don't listen to people trying to shake the foundations of your religion as though everything is okay. You let them know you are tampering with my faith. You're tampering with what I believe in. You're tampering with what I've invested my whole life and my whole family in. Now, if you're going to insult us like this in our own on our own property, buddy, you're going to be done in right now. You should make a man afraid to stand in your masjid on Muslim property and challenge the foundations of your faith. I speak lightly of what we believe in. You should stand right up and tell him, look, buddy, you are not in your atheist home. You're in the believer's home. Now you cut that foolishness out or we're going to throw you out here on your head. And Allah goes on to tell us, They struggle with persistence. Never lighten up. Never turning back. Even when it's hard, they're still pushing. And when it gets easy, and there's no reason in the ordinary person's mind to keep working, they still work. They're still working hard. Because they're not working just for little temporary things and just for their immediate needs. They're working for the good of the whole world, the whole society. They are working for Allah's pleasure. And another description of them is that they don't fear the ugly criticism that people will make. Oh, you people are fanatics. That doesn't disturb me. Oh, you people are too fanatical about your religion. You are fundamentalists. Why, you got more to say? Is that all? Shower me with some more praise. I love being a fanatic for Allah. I love being a fundamentalist for Allah. I just don't want to be a fanatic for you. And I don't want to be a fundamentalist for you and your thing. Praise be to Allah. So these people that will not fear what the society will say about them in criticizing. Allah says, that is my favor. That is my favor. The favor is aiding the people to that kind of strong commitment. And don't think any individual or any group of people can make that kind of strong commitment without Allah's help. You first have to give your life and your will to Allah by degrees. And every time you give of your own personal ambition to please Allah, He strengthens you. He gives you. You give a little, He give a lot. And after a while, you got so much that you know you secure. You say, hey, no, man. They don't shake me. They don't bother me no more. And you said, remember now, don't get too excited. Remember that Allah has made that possible for you. He has been aiding your faith. He has been giving you more knowledge and more understanding. He's been opening up the way to you. He has been strengthening your heart. So you have to remember Him. Give Him praise for that. And that is His favor. Oh, that's the greatest favor that any people can have. To be made the choice of Allah's people on this earth. Yes. He has made such people the choice. That's His choice of people on this earth. His choice is not the so-called Muslim who wears the long dress on the Hajj trip. But when she goes down to Marshall Field, she wears a short one. His favor is not on such sister. His favor is not on the brother who does 20 rak'ahs in the masjid and none at home. His favor is not on the Muslim who outwardly seems to be doing so much. But in his heart, he knows he does nothing. He's all show. But that believer who stands up, who knows Allah sees him, he's conscious that he's in Allah's presence at all times. He knows that Allah is watching him, that Allah knows him, Allah is holding him accountable at all times. When he's before the President of the United States, when he's on the job with the workers, common workers, when he's in the shop or in the supermarket, or when he's at home and nobody there but him, he's the same all the time in respect to Allah. He's the same all the time because he knows he can't put one over on Allah. Praise be to Allah. Allah's favor is on the brave. Not on the cowards. Allah favors the brave, not the cowards. Anytime you're dressing and acting and behaving and looking and talking and smiling and speaking and talking and whatnot, so that people will like you, you're a coward. You're nothing but a big coward. But the person who will be what he thinks is best for himself, and he doesn't care whether everybody likes him or not, that's the courageous person. And Allah's favor is on the brave. Allah's favor is on the courageous person who will not shy away from what he knows to be best for him just because his associates look down on it. They don't fear their ridicule. Of those who criticize. Praise be to Allah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is Allah's favor. He gives it to whomsoever He will.
Why is it said like that? Because there are those who claim Allah has favored them. They have their little private religion, and they say, oh, God is with us. The Jews have the daring nerves to say to the world, that of all the people on this earth, we are God's chosen. And he never chooses behind that choice. That's what they say. They say they are the chosen, and God never makes no other choices. He chose them, and that's an eternal commitment. No matter how badly they behave in the world, doesn't make any difference. They try to make it like a mother and father relationship, or like a parent and child relationship. Say, no matter how bad your child behaves, they're still your child. You can't deny that. So the Jew makes the same claim. No matter how badly we can be behaved, God said we are his begotten. And you can't change that. The world just has to wait until we straighten up to get some help. Because the world's salvation is in us. That's what the Jews say. I'm not exaggerating it at all. I'm giving it plainly to you as they put it to the world. So Allah says in his Quran that his favor on us, on such persons as these, not on any blood lineage, not on any certain race. Maybe he did favor the fathers of the Jews. In fact, he did at one time. That was because their fathers were upright, good servants of God. But now if the children of those fathers fail, and children of other people or other race turn toward God and become the people that God wanted in the beginning, then why should he keep the favor on the disobedient when there's another people now ready to be his good servant? That's no more than common sense. So this is the argument in the Quran. The Quran is a common sense argument, although it carries deep sciences. It's a common sense argument. And the Quran say what? All of the people, not just you, all of the people were created by Allah. They are all his dependents. Not children, he has no children. He created them, and they are all his dependents. Now, if some of his dependents go astray and leave the good way that he gave them, but others of his dependents, they turn to him to follow his way. What kind of God will say, well, look, I promised the ancestor of those over there that I would never choose anybody else. Till I would say, you wait until I work up to another God, find another God. I'll make myself God. And then I'm going to come and take you off the throne. You are bad God. Yes, that's what I would say. I would say to any God like that, I say, you're a terrible God. You might be out of my reach now, sucker, but just wait. Shouldn't we be brave when it comes to challenging something that's wrong? I don't care if it's God. If God is wrong, I'm going to take him off that throne, buddy. Sooner or later. Because if he's wrong, he's not God. So let us understand that. They give our people straight from the backwoods, straight from the plains or backwoods of Africa, knowing nothing but primitive superstition, give them a religion that says God chose a Jew, and his favor is always on the Jew. Then it came on Jesus. May Allah forbid it.
came on Jesus, and Jesus became God in the flesh. And if anyone will have salvation, they have to come through Jesus. If anyone will be saved, they have to confess faith in Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And then that black person with nappy hair, look at a picture they gave him of Jesus. And it's a white man, a Jewish man, that's white too. The Jew is very slick. He won't call himself white, but he has shown himself to you on TV with blue eyes. Blue eyes! The Jew. We know they say the Jew is Semitic people, right? And the Semitic people are not pure Caucasian, but they're identified as white. Do you know the Ethiopians are identified as the white people? Racial classification of the Ethiopian is white, Caucasian. They don't say white, they say Caucasian. Ethiopian. Now you know what color he is, he's black, right? He's black. The Ethiopian is black-skinned. But they list them in the white man's racial classification of people. They list the Ethiopian as Caucasian. They list the Semitic people as Caucasian. That's right. That's a fact. Believe me. That's the fact. That's it. Indians and Asians, some of them are blacker than any of us. Black skin. Do you know they are listed as Caucasian? See, they have different colors.